Father, we thank you for your word. That this isn't the word of a man or a woman, it's your word. We thank you for the anointing. We thank you to help us not fear the days that are ahead. You told us not to fear. So we thank you for encouraging us, encouraging our hearts to press on. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to start off with a kind of a funny story. I could so relate to this story because I used to have to go skiing in the mountains back in the day because my boys always voted to go skiing, and I'd rather be at a beach. But to be a good sport, I used to go skiing too, in Steamboat, Whistler, wherever, in mountains, not little places, but you just kind of had to learn to go with the flow. And so this story is really funny to me because I can so relate to it, especially with my youngest son. Whenever we'd go skiing and we'd get him all dressed and he'd have, you know, the mask and the skis and the snowmobile outfits and everything. And then you get him on, finally you get up on the top of the hill, then they have to go to the bathroom. It's like, oh no. And it's just a lot of work for you to know. So this story brings back a lot of my memories, and it's really funny to me because I can just so see this. There is a woman, and it was her first time skiing. So you got to give her a little slack, right? She's never done this before. And she gets to the ski hill, and she has to go to the bathroom. And in the mountains, it's a big deal. It's different if it's a little tiny chalet, but if it's a big one. And her husband says, go over to the trees. Just go over there. There's nobody over there. Nobody's going to see. You've got your privacy. So she goes over there, and she squats down. And you have to know, women, it's different. You got to squat down and do the whole thing, you know. So here she is on these skis, and she squats down, and she just keeps on going. And she doesn't know how to stop. And here she is half undressed going down. You got to visualize. Here she is half undressed going down this mountain. And she keeps on going, and she's going past people, and she's so embarrassed, and she goes past this skier. And people were just stopping to, you know, it's like you don't see this every day. And she's squatting down half undressed, and she's really beyond embarrassed. And she gets through that situation, and that night she goes to the chalet. So she's like, oh. And she sees this guy that has a broken leg. And he says, you won't believe this lady. And so he's starting to talk about how this lady broke his leg. Well, she didn't break his leg. What really happened was he broke his focus, started staring at the half-naked lady going down the hill, didn't pay attention, and he hit a tree because he was watching the woman. He got distracted, and he was blaming the woman. And that story just kind of made me think about how we love to blame other people for situations that we get ourselves into. It's so easy to blame someone else. Just think of your life, and you just think of all the people that you're mad at, and you have unforgiveness and all this and that. But through it all, did we get distracted? Did we hit a tree? Did we consent? There's a lot of things today that we need to not consent to, but we have to take responsibility. We love to blame other people, and to blame means that you assign the responsibility for something that was bad to someone else. It's all their fault. But if we don't take responsibility, we can have more situations keep happening and keep blaming other people, and blamers don't grow. I know some people are going through stuff that they went through 20 years ago, and they're still blaming other people, and they won't look at themselves and judge themselves. So it's just rinse and repeat, going to have the same problem because you won't own responsibility. Now, in Philippians 3, in verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, and this is what we have to do too, Things are changing. Our calendar's changing once again. And we've got to press on. We've got to move forward. We have to do what God wants us to do. And there's some things that we need to let go of. There's some things we need to forget. There's some people we have to stop blaming and own responsibility so that we can grow. He says, I forget the things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press to the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And then he tells us to be thus minded. We're supposed to be forgetting the things that are behind, and we also are supposed to be pressing towards the mark, right? So what did he have to forget? Because sometimes you think, nobody knows all the trouble I've gone through. Nobody knows my heartache, my heartbreak, what my children have done to me, what bad choices I've made. Well, everybody can raise their hand and say we've made bad choices. Sometimes you make choices based on the information you have, and it's all the information that you have, and so you make that decision, and then you look back, and it was the wrong decision. Your heart was right. You did the right thing that you thought at the time, but you didn't have the right amount of information, so you made a bad choice. Or you were conditioned by your parents. Many people that have abusive alcoholic dads marry abusive men because that's all they knew. That's all they know. They're used to being abused and mistreated, and that's normal to them. Men are the same way. So what did Paul, actually his name was Saul, and they changed it to Paul, right? Because he got born again, he got changed. But what did he have to forget? What did he have to let go of intentionally? There's some things we have to let go of intentionally. We have to shut the door. Some of us have to shut the door to the skeletons in our closets, things that we chose to do, we shouldn't have done, it was a bad choice, the drugs we took, the alcohol, the people we were hanging, whatever it is. Everybody's in a different situation, but we all have a past that sometimes you wish was just erased. Well, when you confess your sins and you repent, God forgets that. Far as the east is from the west, he's forgiven you, and we're supposed to forget it. And I used to like to say, put no fishing there. Devil, you can't fish there. That sin's been covered by the blood of Jesus, and God can't even find it anymore because we've repented. Repenting means you turn, right? But here, he was a hitman for the devil. What did he used to do? In Acts 8, verse 3, we see, before he was converted to Paul, he persecuted the church. He hauled people to prison. Saul, who later became Paul, wrote the Bible here, was inspired to write it, was a Pharisee. He helped stone Stephen in Acts 7:58. In verse 60, I love this, Stephen called upon God, saying, Lord Jesus, this is when he was getting stoned to death, and Saul was right there stoning him, right along with the rest of them. He said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit and lay not this sin to their charge. So he was asking God to forgive Saul right there. Don't lay this sin to their charge. And I was just thinking how he had an encounter with the Lord. Now, this is the real stuff, not the stuff they're making up in churches. You know, you got to come and have a so-called visitation with your so-called prophet that gives you no profit. But he really had witnessed the Lord in the real sense. And because of that, when we really see the Lord and we have a relationship with the Lord, it's only then you can forgive. Because when you see what you've been forgiven of, then you can with that same grace say, Lord, if it weren't for you, So would I be there. I'd be doing the same thing. Or, I don't know, somehow when you see Jesus and you see what he's done for you, you can turn and forgive others. And that's the whole thing about the Bible, is we see forgiveness. And we see forgiveness as he was dying. And Saul, he also had to forgive. He had to learn the same kind of lessons. He had to learn to forgive, to forget, to move forward, just like we're going to have to learn how to let some stuff go. There's some people that you should have never disconnected from. There were people that God wanted you to be with, and there's others you needed to separate from because they were a harm to you. They weren't there to bless you like a Delilah. They were sent to destroy you, right? Cut off your hair, cut off your strength. So you have to discern the people in your life. And the older we get, the more we're like, I'm not doing that again. Some decisions I've made is I'm not going to be around narcissistic people anymore. I don't want people controlling me. And I've allowed it before. And so there, here he comes back to the blaming. Well, they were a narcissist. But you made a choice at some point in your life to say yes to that narcissist. So now that we've grown, we've learned, we have to also make the choice to say no. And that can go as a boss, it can go as a friend, it can go as some relatives or whatever. But here's Saul, he had a religious spirit and using the name of God in the name of religion. And he had a lot of zeal, but it was the wrong kind of zeal. And we see this today in the false church. You are going to be, we are going to be, I'm going to be misunderstood by the false church because we're exposing it. And there's some people that do not want to come out of it, and they don't even want to face that it could even be a possibility because of their choice to sit under teachers and having itching ears, which we all have done in the past. And now we have to quit blaming them and make choices. I'm not listening to that anymore. I'm not listening to those people. I'm not listening to those television preachers anymore. The name it, claim it, blab it, grab it group that aren't helping people. They're just helping themselves, right? So we have to take responsibility for that. Now in Matthew 26, we're going to turn there. There's some things that we're supposed to do. We have to forget those things that are behind, but we've got to watch and we've got to pray. And Jesus had this problem with his disciples. They always wanted to fall asleep. They were tired. They didn't understand. And the same today, his disciples, his children, many of them, it's hard to get them to wake up. And some people you're just going to have to say like Jesus did here. He said, sleep on. He tried to keep them awake. He tried to get them to do what he wanted them to do. This is when Jesus in verse 36, he was going to Gethsemane, and he said unto his disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here. And what are you supposed to do? Watch. Well, they didn't want to watch. And it's the same thing today. People don't want to watch, as in the days of Noah, partying, doing all sorts of stuff, getting materialism, wanting to have the biggest, the best. And everything's being shaken now. Our economy is being shaken. Things are being shaken. And we have to say, you know, I've made some bad decisions. Financially, maybe you've went in debt. And this is the way the world, we're going to go into some of the signs here in the end of the agendas and how to make a socialistic state. They love to get you in debt. They love to get you in debt, keep you in debt, and there's nothing worse when you start getting in these debts and it's like, it's just like a burden is on top of you. So watch ye here and pray with me. And then he says in verse 39, and he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them, what? Asleep. Not a new problem. And saith unto Peter, what could you not watch with me 1 hour? Just keep reading. Watch and pray. And why should we be watching? And why should we be praying? Right, here's your answer. That you enter not into temptation. When we're watching, when we're seeing things, when the Lord's warning us about things that are happening in the world, Why are we watching? Why are we exposing evil so we don't fall into temptation? And one of the things that I really see that I like people that have come out of situations, whether it be out of religious movements or the medical, whatever it is, and they start telling the truth of what's really happening in those arenas. Because when you've been in it and you try to expose it, people don't want to hear it, first of all, and you get excommunicated, and there's a price to pay to tell the truth. And many people don't want their bubble to explode, and you don't want to hear it. And I remember when I first started hearing some of this stuff, I couldn't believe it. I was just like, well, this is what I've been taught my whole life. This can't be wrong. This can't be wrong. And then the more you start studying to show yourself approved, isn't that what we're supposed to do? Do your own research and do it now, because they're doing things with the internet, with AI and all this stuff. Things are changing, and they're changing fast, as we know. But we have to study to show ourselves approved. And that way we know some of these things that we bought into, which I'm going to share here in a second, healthcare, poverty, all these different things to what they want us to do to make a socialistic state or socialism, all the isms, whatever you want to call, we can watch and see what is happening in our world, that we enter not into temptation. Because you're going to be tempted to go with what everybody else is doing. And sometimes you have to say no. I am not giving my consent. I am not going that way. I'm not going to bow to, and let's call it, the white coats. Listening to a lady that had to flee America because she didn't go along with the white coats. Very smart, brilliant doctor. And she exposes what's really going on in those arenas. And wow, it's a lot of the times things that you felt like, you know, is this really right? Is this something I should be doing? Should I really be injecting this? Should I really be taking this? Does this really make me better, or does this make me a slave to a system? But you have to watch and pray that you enter not into the temptation of the enemy, because in the end times, we know the pharmacia, the pharmakeia, all these different things are, what are they going to do? The Bible says in the Revelation, they're going to deceive the nations. Well, God doesn't want us deceived, so he wants us to watch. And sometimes we have to listen to messages that don't tickle us, but it makes us watch. It makes us be aware. It makes us see that we have to expose evil so that we don't participate with it. Because God doesn't want us deceived. But he said in the end times, that's going to be the biggest problem, is deception. So he comes again, verse 43, and he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. In verse 45, he told his disciples, sleep on, just sleep on now, take your rest. Then the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. So we see here, Jesus had to die, he had to go to the cross, bear our sins. We accept him as Lord and Savior, we accept him into our life. And then we want to do his will, not the idols of the world. The people of the world love to set idols in front of us, whether it be movie stars, preachers. And there's a shaking that's coming. These mega church pastors, I've been watching as these, I don't know if this has been done, that these people are really this bad, or if it's a domino effect because they want to bring in the one world religion, and they want to get people shaken. And if their idol falls, a lot of Christians are going to fall right with them. And that's why it doesn't matter what a minister does. They did not die for you. They might fall. Things in the future, 2024, I believe, is going to expose a lot of things, a lot of veils. I don't know if it's God's judgment revealing this, or if the enemy's just trying to destroy our faith in ministers, regardless of whatever it is, a mixture maybe, I don't know. Keep your eyes on Jesus. These preachers, they might have helped you. Maybe it was a season they were in your life. But if they're bringing harm, if they're bringing wrong teachings, if they're causing division, you have to choose this. You have to believe this. If you don't believe in this, I can't hang around you, because you might stop my faith from believing in this. works. There's so many people that are, I don't want to go into the situations, but there's so much division. So I want to just give you the 8 levels of control quickly that have to be obtained before you're able to create this kind of a situation that we're in. We're in it. We've been in it for quite a while, but if you're watching, it's not going to surprise you. I've shared these things before, but I want to go over them real quick once again because we're always at a new level of these situations. And some of the things that they have to control is health care. Control health care and you control the people. Get them in the system. Number 2, poverty. Poor people are easier to control and will not fight back if you are providing everything for them to live, which is what? Socialism. Study that on your own. We don't have time to go there. Debt. This is what they do to create this new system that we're going into, which the Bible says we have to because the Antichrist, we got to have all this stuff happening. Debt. Don't go into debt if you don't have to. There's some things I know you have to for a season, but try to get out as fast as you can. It's a trick of the enemy to get you in credit card debt. Some people, they'll never get out of credit card debt. They only pay their minimum, and that it just keeps you in bondage where they keep increasing and increasing and increasing the interest. They keep raising the interest. And it just becomes impossible almost for these young people to get out. So there's things you just have to say, I'm not going to go to that coffee shop every day. I'm not going to go there. Change your lifestyle while you still can before you're totally. Just a little mama advice. Then they want to remove your ability, and I'm not going to say it, but it's the bang bangs, to defend yourself. That way you're able to create what? Once they get that away, and they've done this in other countries, and I just want to say, if you could just send me an email from which country you're listening. You don't have to. Some people go, I want to write you, but I don't know what to say. Just say Africa, Australia, or whatever it is. I just want to know how far our YouTubes are still going out, because we know all the banning that's going on, the censoring, and it's encouraging to know that you can still hear our voice. And if you also like things and share them, it helps. It really, really helps. And we want to thank you for doing that. Thank you for helping us. We're all in this together, and we need our voices. I think this is one of the most important things we can do is preach the gospel to the end. There's a lot of things that don't really matter, because when you die, you don't have a U-Haul connected to your hearse. You know, you're going to die. You're not going to bring your stuff with you. But everything we do for the Lord's going to last. When he sees us, he's going to reward us for what we've done on the earth. There's a lot of things you're not going to be rewarded for, but everything you've done for Christ will last. So they want to remove the ability of people to defend themselves, and of course they're going to make everybody afraid. This is what's happening right now. Everything is fear porn. Fear, fear, fear. Be afraid of your neighbor. Divide and conquer. And if you know, I'm going to fight against my neighbor because they believe in this. You got to come out of the right-left paradigm. You got to come out of this class warfare. You got to see that they're always dividing. They used to divide us against, make us all afraid of a certain race. Now they're trying to make everyone afraid of white people. Don't fall for it. You just have to stop blaming other people and just say, I refuse to follow this narrative. I refuse to follow the news. Their propaganda is trying to cause division. And I don't care what it is. There's more chaos in our world, and they love this, because out of chaos, they want their new system. And they have to bring down the governments. I've shared on this a lot of times when I was sharing about these systems that have to come down so they can bring in the new. They want a global. And you can see, whenever I see global everything, I'm like, okay, that's them, global. Yep. It's in their logos, it's in their everything they do. They show who they are by their logos. You need to study logos. That's a very important message. But welfare, take control of every aspect of their lives. And I believe, and I've heard this is coming, food. You see how our food has been totally changed. It's hard to find good vegetables and fruits in grocery stores. It's just like, wow, they look old when they just got there. A bag of potatoes we bought were rotten when we opened them up. It's like, what is happening to our food and our housing? People, they part of their, and some of you think this is cute, I know, but I've studied this years ago. They want everyone living in tiny houses. And these tiny houses aren't cheap. These tiny houses, one of them was over $1,000 a month to rent one. So they want you to mentally think smaller and to have less and be happy, right? This is all part of their plan. Take every aspect of their lives, food, housing, and income. Education, take control of what people read, or get rid of books, get rid of history, and listen to, take control of what children learn in school. So I'm telling my granddaughter, I said, they're going to tell you man came from apes, from monkeys. She just laughed. She thought that was hilarious. But how many people believe that's what we were taught, that we came from a monkey, right? Well, if you teach them, then when they hear that, or you can't choose, you know, what gender you are, this is a big thing now. This is all part of what they're doing on purpose, because why, we're living in the days of Noah, as the days of Noah. So this has been prophesied. God's wanting us to watch and pray that we enter not into temptation and we are not deceived, okay? Just a little more and I'm done. Religion, they have to take control. Remove the belief in God. Sometimes when I was reading, they'll let you have your religion, but it won't be much. It'll be a little of this and that, and it's all mixed together. It's called ecumenical. Everything is a mix of everything because you don't want to offend anyone. So everything goes. And last but not least, class warfare. In order to accomplish their goals and bring the agendas they want into being, they want to divide the people. And it goes back into the distractions. Just like this guy, he got distracted watching this woman come down the hill. He got distracted by her and he hit a tree. And that's what the enemy wants. He wants us distracted. He wants us distracted over here, over that. What about this war? Whose side are you going to be on? Oh, let's fight over this. And this is the real thing we have to fight over. You know what? There's not a whole lot of hills I'm going to die on anymore. There's one hill. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. But there's a lot of hills people are fighting over now that really aren't going to matter. Well, it's important that we know this. Really? Is it important? Well, it's important that we fight over this. What is this? This is the enemy's plan to divide the people. And if you divide yourself from a good friend, you're a fool. You really are. Well, they don't believe just exactly like I do. You know what? In a year, you might not believe that either. People change. People change their views. There are some things, yeah, we hold our ground. But still, we have to forgive people. Remember Stephen, when he was stoned, he forgave. Yeah. And as a result of forgiveness, he said, Lord, don't lay it to their charge. Saul ended up becoming Paul. And look at the results he had. You never know who God's going to use, right? So they want distractions. They want you fighting against each other. They want the right-left paradigm. They want the color paradigm. They want war paradigm. Everything is to divide and conquer you. Choose not to go with narratives because keep your eyes on the big agenda. What is this agenda? They want new laws passed. Watch and pray. And in closing, Romans 13:11, the hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber. Because our salvation is nearer now than we first believed. Wake up from your slumber. It's important that people get saved. If you're not right with the Lord, you better get right with the Lord. Because this is a day and an hour we have never seen. The chaos, the storms, the people that are dying at young ages, the people that are getting sick all around. I mean, I'm hearing reports and reports of people that are facing things financially, trouble. It's a time of suffering. So what do? We keep our eyes on Jesus. We're not going to be distracted and hit that tree. And we're not going to be so busy thinking we're right, because sometimes, you know what, we're not right. It's by the grace of God we even get up in the morning and brush our teeth. Hallelujah. You know, some people are just nervous wrecks of what's going on. Don't fear. That's one thing God's told us, fear not. And this is what the enemy is using. He's trying to bring in division and fear. And I've just shut the news off. There's times I don't listen to nothing. I'll just listen to a few people that I think are encouraging. There's just so much bad news out there and fear. Fear of this, fear of that. All the banks are going to collapse. All this is going to happen. Yes, they're going to bring in their digital ID. Yes, they are going to bring in these things. But we're watching and we're praying, right? And when we don't consent, it's going to push back. Yes, use cash wherever you can, because they want a cashless society, and it's going to happen because everybody's saying no to cash. Because, oh, it's so convenient to do this and this. Yeah, it's going to be very convenient for AI to take over and bring in the electric kingdom, because that's what he wants. He wants a martial law, police state, surveillance kingdom. Everything's artificially controlled. And I've already noticed it's already in operation, if you don't know it is. When you watch a video the last week, every time I watch something, it'll start, and then it'll, like 2 seconds, it'll kick back in and it'll start again, because they're recording what you're watching, what you're looking at. And I'm like, watch on. Why? Because we're supposed to be, you know, watching and praying and not be afraid. And if you let everything they're saying and their narratives and all this, it's going to bring you in total anxiety. There's enough every day to just wake up and say, this is the day the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad. And then people are going to come to you because you're going to have answers for them. And if you're down, who are they going to go to? Sometimes they don't want you until they go through trouble. And then you're the first one they call, right? So have a forgiving heart. I don't know who's going to be calling you or who you're supposed to make amends with. But they're not killing you like Stephen. Stephen was being stoned and he said, Father, forgive them. So help us, Lord, forgive people that are rude, that are mean, that are angry in the store, that don't know how to drive, stoned and drunk, they're acting crazy everywhere. Help us live above it. And the preachers, as they expose stuff to get us to fall, thank you, Father, that even though we might be shaken, we might hear things that shake us, we're not going to be shaken from you. Because you died for us, and we want to live for you. In Jesus' name. Everyone said?
Amen.
Amen.
If you would like to see more messages from Roberta on YouTube, be sure to subscribe to her YouTube channel, Roberta Morrison. Her backup channel, Roberta Morrison 2, and on the Living in His Presence Church website, where you can access the messages on the top center of the main webpage. There are free audio downloads of the messages. We are viewer supported. On the main webpage at the top right is a give button. Thank you for watching and see you next time.